May 4th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission in County Curry Beach. First item is the approval of the agenda. The motion to approve the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as is.
Is it second? Okay, all in favor of the agenda? Approval of minutes, we have two on this one. We have the regular minutes from our April 6th meeting. Is there a motion or any additions or changes to that? Approve the April 6th minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, second.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor of approval of the April 6th minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is the special meeting, approval of the minutes for April 28th. That was a very short meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Old business, townhome definition. This matter was tabled at the April meeting. I had offered to kind of tweak the language a little bit, and I thought I had this in my notes right here. Or is it? This is an upgrade. Okay. I think the key issue last time is we had voted to eliminate the horizontal aspects of that.
Right.
Or the vertical. The horizontal is still in, but the vertical.
I thought it was just what you said the first time.
That's horizontal.
Horizontal, right. We eliminated horizontal, which you said the first time.
Okay, well, that's still in here then.
Okay. See, this I don't think was changed.
I looked at it literally right before I came over here. Because I had taken notes about how we wanted that changed. For life, I cannot find it.
Well, 2G can take it out, 5B.
Right?
Yeah. According to the minutes, it's on the 8. I've got my wall.
Okay, so let's go ahead and refer to the minutes then on that.
Here it is. Got it. Yeah, we eliminated 2D and we were going to eliminate B, 5B, which referenced the bombing units horizontally, and eliminate 8. That's what I have from our screen.
And then the other thing in the minutes, too, is that there should be, we're talking about putting a provisional approval.
That's what I thought we were going to
do. Yeah, it was. And I have my notes.
Sorry, I didn't copy any of that.
I literally was looking at it right before I came. Okay. Well, if it's okay with the commission, I mean, can we just spend 3 minutes and get that language in there? I think it was just a minor thing that we wanted to put in, that there should be a provisional approval, and just to read the part of the minutes on this, the town will want to avoid a dissolution of the condo and the covenants that might not be approved. Thank you. how would you put a provisional approval in here? Again, in the minutes, what we were concerned about last month is that we didn't want to have somebody come here, do the conversion, and not deal with the condo issue. Remember, you've got the condo, the homeowners association issue, and we didn't want to have something approved and have the homeowners association dissolve. So we wanted a provisional approval in here subject to the reformation of the homeowners association according to state law or whatever. Do you have any language that you might want to suggest for that?
I don't know that there's much in the way of an approval process in what Mr. Calder submitted.
Well, I think there would have to be an approval to go through this.
Right.
So what we want to make sure is that whatever approval process is set up, if somebody wants to change the definition of what they are from a condo to a residential single-family attached development, that the approval process from the city under this ordinance is a provisional subject to changing of the homeowners association from a condo to what would be more appropriate.
Right. I know we just had a discussion where, you know, the condominium restrictive covenants would be undone, and basically the whole condominium arrangement would be pulled apart. And the concern I had was that you take it apart, and then if you don't get approval from the town of the new structure, then you've got a structure in limbo.
Right. So what language would you suggest that we put in here to protect the city against that?
Well, I don't know necessarily. I know we've used the word provisional. I mean, as long as you got your approval from the town before you pulled apart
your covenant.
Maybe that's the way to do it, that the process allows the existing condominium and restricted covenants to stay in place until all the approval is obtained. It was then to switch it over to the new structure at that point. Just
would the town care? In other words, what I'm saying is that's up to the homeowners to make sure that they apply and they get approval before they start destroying their own covenants. Otherwise, you know, you can't pre-warn anyone, I don't think.
That might be the way to do it. Because I think we just have probably have a requirement that the covenants be undone, you know, before you move into the process. And maybe that's just what we would want to avoid. Because it does seem to have potential. Of, you know, of course, I guess they could just put them back the way they had them. They couldn't get approval of the move. And I agree. I think it's up to the owner and their attorney to a large extent, but they can create a process that tends to put them in a pitfall.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll probably deal with that with a fairly simple phrase in here that approval of. Approval of the. Conversion, I guess. Approval of the conversion of town of condominium units to single family attached units under this section.
Well, can we just read the purpose once? I think this is the purpose is to provide for residential single family attached developments in the town of Fury Beach by declaration of covenants and recorded plats following approval by all applicable departments of said town and to provide for conversion of certain other types of residential units. So what we're saying is the town is giving you the ability to change your residence if you want to.
Right.
And that sort of warns them that, you know, here's a place to do it. Change from condo to single family attached development if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And somebody building a new place, I guess, would fall under these.
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about, because I've seen this a couple times, not here, is when you allow this sort of conversion to take place, is they're required to have an HOA under the condo rules, right? I mean, when you have a condo, they have to have an HOA.
When you have a condo, they have to have HOA.
When they convert to a single-family attached development, they still have to have an HOA because you have common ownership of land here. It's just private underneath, but still common ownership of land. If we don't require this, they could dissolve the HOA under the condo and not do anything to have an HOA to manage the common land around these single-family attached developments. So that's my concern, is that, you know, there may be a little legal loophole there where all of a sudden no one's managing the common area.
Right.
And a mechanism for that.
Perhaps you could come at an approval of the conversion. Maybe you could have a withdrawal of that approval if the new covenants and HOA and everything are not put in place within 90 days or something like that.
That's fine. I mean, it's...
As a fee for it.
How would you word that as number 12?
I mean, you may want to go to the trouble to say that the existing covenant setup can remain in place until town approval of the new setup, you know, is granted.
Are we going through the new HOA documents, though? Well, the town's really concerned about whether or not are the flats and drawings.
Well, what happens when two single family owners don't get along and they cut their grass?
Yeah, they can't agree on
that. That's the one that always used to happen about, too, but I mean,
well, the other purpose of the HOA is also the insurance.
I'm just going to go through these HOA documents. I mean, it's the main question. If I can tell you right now, I don't know what I'm looking at.
I mean, they would look pretty much just like a condo HOA. In fact, you could even take exactly the same things, probably with some minor language issues. But, I mean, I think that the town has to have something that requires an HOA in place for insurance reasons, for landscaping reasons, you know, maintenance of property, and so forth.
Maybe we could ask for a certificate from the attorney. I mean, I think going to be an attorney most of the time that we're doing that. We get a certificate from the attorney that he has created an HOA and restricted covenants for the new setup.
So how would you put that language in there?
Well, the legal document required from an attorney. Correct.
Approval of the conversion of condominium units to single-family attached units under this section is conditional, subject to, what would you say on that?
Legal description, legal... wouldn't it be a legal filing?
I think it would be just something provided to the town that the attorney is satisfied that it, you know, but it almost seems like you would have certain things you want to identify that you're trying to protect, you know, maintenance of the common area, taking care of insurance, and I mean, I don't know if we have a list of that yet. And that's what I would want from that attorney is saying, I've set up an HOA and the covenants to go along with it, it'll take care of the important aspects.
Attorney provided
description
of HLA, certified HLA or something.
Mm-hmm. Attorney provided description of HOA definition, HOA
final material and record or something.
Because then that would be accountability and insurance. That would require the insurance and all the paperwork, the bank process and everything.
How about this? An approval on, okay, how about approval of the conversion of condominium units to single-family attached units under this section is conditional, subject to approval of a description of an appropriate HOA for the new single-family attached units. Is that coming close to that? You know, that way somebody in this town can look at it. You don't need to necessarily go through it, but you can look at it once we decide what should be in there. You know, is there something for insurance? Is there something for maintenance? You know, it doesn't really have to be, you know, nobody has to go through it word by word, but at least we can look in and make sure it's got everything
there. I mean, that's not something, you know, that we talk about in much detail, what we want those covenants to do. I mean, my recommendation would be that we, you know, maybe down the line, you identify some things that you wanted to do, and then have that attorney say, yeah, we'll do it. Because once we get back to looking at them, then it starts with, like, the town is trying to decide whether the covenants are sufficient and so forth. And
I was looking to see if we did that for subdivisions.
Maybe since the gentleman that was in here requested this, his attorney, Robert Calder's attorney, maybe they could provide us some insight of what normally is in his documents and create us a generic kind of something. I'm sure.
But to move this on, is actually, I think, one, we can approve the language right now and then send it forward to the town council, and then they can maybe fine-tune this, or we can hold off another month to do this. So, you know, I would suggest that that we put the language and kind of move this on. Language something like the approval of the conversion of condominium units to single-family attached units under this section is subject to filing and approval of a description of an appropriate HOA for the new single-family attached unit complex or something. Did you get that?
You changed it.
I like the second version better.
Yes.
The one you just said.
Yes.
Okay, tell me where you went. Approval of conversion of condominium units to single-family attached units under this section is, and I have conditional...
Is conditional subject to
approval.
How about filing and approval of an appropriate HOA... Or filing an approval by the town of an HOA appropriate to the single family unit housing complex.
Appropriate to a single family?
To the single family unit complex.
Okay.
So it's filing an approval of an HOA appropriate to the single-family unit
that's
complex.
Specific.
Single-family, okay, yes, you're right. Single-family attached.
Okay, I'm going to read this back to you just to make sure I've got it. Approval of the conversion of condominium units to single-family attached units under this section is conditional, subject to filing an approval by the town of an HOA appropriate to the single-family attached unit complex.
Who's approving the HOA?
The town?
We, yeah.
You
want to
approve
the
HOA?
Well, the legal definition of an HOA?
No, I mean, no one's ever approved ours. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you don't have any attorney
review on
there's no process
for that. I mean, once we get a checklist that we're looking for, the Planning Commission could do it. I mean, we're leaving open it. Who is approving it right now? But
well, I think we need to go ahead and establish that. We're going to have a flood of these coming in pretty soon.
You think so?
Yes, sir. Well, who approves it when someone comes to build a duplex? I'll approve the covenant. It's the only thing I'll approve. It's flat. I'll ever look at
the covenants just get attached to the land. They file it. That's all.
But see, but the requirements under state law for the condo HOA, but there are no requirements for single-family attached unit complexes, I think.
Right.
So the HOA for condos will have to have certain things in it.
There is a state law that was just newly put out a year ago or so. And requirements for
that may be a way to do it. You know, I mean, I like just the notion of a certificate from the attorney that's drafted what they might could say, since we don't have a list, is that they're substantially similar to the covenants for the condominium, you know, and at least serve all the same purposes, the same primary purposes that, that the condo covenant served. Just, I mean, I think they're all going to be the same, maintenance of the common area, insurance.
I mean, we could articulate those things right now. I mean, we could say, you know, change it to, you know, keep everything the same and say subject to, this is conditional, subject to the filing of a attorney-prepared certificate.
I like that specification.
Got it. And then you said you had something that was similar, or
it was that they served the same purpose as the
previous.
I'm thinking, I guess I'm thinking whatever was in for the condominium was approved somehow and has been working.
Okay, how about this? How about the... Okay, under this section is conditional subject to the filing of an attorney-prepared certificate that specifies that the new HOA for the single-family attached unit complex is materially similar to the previous condo HOA.
I think that's close, or that it serves the same primary functions. I mean, it's getting, you know, down to tweaking. I think that's basically it.
So what is it right now?
Okay, I lost on the last part because I'll keep going back and forth, but you would say... approval subject to the filing of an attorney-prepared certificate that specifies that the new HOA for the single-family attached complex is similar to the previous, and then I'll watch it.
Previous HOA.
That's what I thought.
Or condo, condominium HOA.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, again, we could tweak that, or we could approve this and move it on and let the town council tweak it. Is there a motion?
So you want that to, you want it to cut off?
No, so it's still all the same front end stuff. Approval of the conversion of the condominium unit to single family unit attached units under this section is conditional subject to...
To, there we go. Okay.
And do we want to put anything in there about the condo HOA covenants remaining in place until the new ones are approved? I mean, that may not be a concern. Maybe that was just something that Robert threw out. I can't remember even where it came from. That there was some notion you had to dismantle at first. But if you don't, then I would think they wouldn't get the new one approved. And I don't think anything interesting.
Well, we might find out when the first one comes through, you know, that it might need some tweaking.
Well, like Jim said a while ago, didn't the purpose kind of cover that up there? This is to provide for conversion.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
I'm getting more confused with this, and that's why I'm trying to straighten it out. 7 says conversion of vertically bonded condominium units to single family units of flats conforming to the requirements of Article 4, Chapter 15, and that's subdivisions. And that's what I was trying to get to, what subdivisions do. And all that it talks about is all the platting, the names, the recording of streets and all. It doesn't say an HOA, but
right.
It says who's responsible for what, the profile, the grades. So, you know, it's mainly based more for subdivisions, but I think that's what the attorney was trying to do, was saying that we got to abide by whatever's in there in New Hanover County. And then below that, he says, hey, then dissolve your other owners.
Right. But the way it's written, there's no mechanism, because you still have common ownership. Okay, unlike, you know, all these other ones, you know, with the exception of Turie Beach Village, we don't have any single-family attached units So if we're going to have a flood of these things, as you're suggesting, all of a sudden we're going to have a lot more. And you know, every single family attached unit, that town hold sort of thing, still looks and feels like a condo unit in the sense of the common areas. So I think we really have to require that there's a new HOA in place rather than simply approving the plats. You got to have a lot of possibly, you know, if the owners don't get along or something like that, as somebody mentioned, you're going to have a lot of situations where there may not be a new HOA. An old HOA is dissolved. There's no new HOA, and nobody's taking care of the common ground or getting insurance or anything.
Same
like
thing
that.
With subdivision here.
But subdivisions don't have common grounds.
Yeah, they do.
Well, some of them do, some of them don't.
Some of them have dedicated common grounds.
But some don't, though.
So we don't cover that here, I guess. We ought to cover it. Make sure if this is really an issue, we got to cover it. And subdivisions too, then, where if there's going to be common grounds that we're worried about, how are we going to be taken care of? I'm not sure that's really our problem, but
I don't see that in a subdivision problem, because a developer files that, and so if the developer has common grounds, the developer's going to put that in place before he starts selling the units of them.
But, you know, well, my contention is this is the same thing, then. If I'm the homeowner, I own these two units, I'm sure going to protect myself before I go in and make any changes and make sure I identify who's going to be in those common grounds.
I don't know.
And if we're going to have to monitor this, then we better monitor it all the way, to be fair. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, what's in number 7? It says before you dissolve a condo, it has to be in accord with the provisions of North Carolina Family Statute, Chapter 47. So, what is that all say? Does that have anything in there that's
like talking about? 47C talks about the condominium and the owners association and so forth. And I guess that is what I was thinking of, because it talks about dissolving them. But I might have made up a problem, because I believe you would have had town approval before you could record it. And so that's what they're saying is, you get town approval of the new setup, and then you dissolve the old, and then you record the new. And so that notion of something falling through the cracks may not be a problem.
Is there anything in there that talks about dissolving the condominium that would cover this whole issue?
There is a process. I might not be able to pull it, the statute, but there is a process about, you know, the condominium.
I mean, that may say it can't be dissolved without something else arising, right, which what we're trying to
do. I would feel better if we had this covered well. Sorry, Craig, but I feel better if we have it. If that doesn't cover it, then we got to create something.
No, I mean, I can see
over here, we ought to cover it in places where there are common grounds and new developments. Then,
because
to make sure,
you know, the motivation for this is for people to sell their properties, and I can just see people going through this process, put it on the market without getting a new HOA in place, and then all of a sudden you have new owners coming in, you know, buying without an HOA in place to be able to manage. So I really think it is a very important thing. So
I can't imagine the state allowing you to dissolve a condominium without having another one in place.
Or something to cover it. You know,
it's still condominium.
Unless it was going to be torn down or something.
All right. What I'm hearing is a motion to table this then, subject to review of
Chapter 47C218,
right,
or 47A16 as applicable.
Right. But make sure in the minutes that the language that we just talked about is in the minutes. So in case there's anything, we can go back to the language issue. Okay.
If you hold on a minute, I'm
going to
have right now.
Okay.
Because
What was the statute that you quoted, Jim? 47C-218?
Or Chapter 47A-16.
Okay, they can terminate a condominium at least 80% of the votes of the association. Doesn't require them to redo anything?
How would a duplex we're referring to this, we have 80% of those now?
Two votes.
only two owners.
Yeah, got to be 150.
Multiple ownership.
Fine, unless you have multiple ownership. Good point.
Right.
Yes. motion without stress.
So we're back to the language of then?
I don't know. I'm going to have a skin right here. Okay. I'm probably missing it.
All right.
Probably better.
Well, I will make the motion then to table this subject to review, with making sure that the language that we just talked about is in the minutes in case we need to go back to it.
Second.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Number two, discussion on grants available for town for purposes of burying the power lines. I don't think there's any further discussion on that right now.
We did send up to council.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I was looking in the minutes on, because we had talked about the actual specific boundary for that.
Yes, we did.
And I could not find that in the minutes.
It was in the minutes.
Was it in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So did anybody get the email from Dean? There was an email sent out about.
Which one?
No, that's not the zoning issue.
No, it was about power.
Oh, that's
right. There's a guy that actually knows the process and can help. And I thought that would have been in the package.
I didn't see it.
If I can get to my emails, I can get it.
Remember one of those?
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Last week. Or
that's the old ones. That's the old ones.
I don't know if that works for Progress Energy or from someone that.
I had K from 3rd to the Pier and Fort Fisher Atlantic from J to L. And I thought somebody made a change to that. Alan, didn't you make a change?
Okay, here's the minutes. The minutes say that the main arteries of the town, i.e. Fort Fisher to J and L along K Avenue up to 3rd.
Yeah, that's what both what Ellen changed, and we accepted that, I thought.
Okay.
Fort Fisher to JNL along KMU 3rd.
Yeah. Okay.
So we propose that they, you know, either allow us to investigate or somebody to go out and do a research on what it would cost.
If you look at page 4 of our minutes. And Barry was here, but I talked to him afterwards, the meeting, and he said he would pass this on, but I don't know if that was.
Page four
of the minutes.
Yeah.
Bullet points.
Number 4.
What I would suggest is that these bullet points, these 7 or 8 bullet points, simply be put into an email and sent to the city council, the town council.
Well, at the last council meeting, they were asking us to.
Well, this was supposed to go to the
council. Barry's not here, but I've talked to Barry twice right after the meetings, and he says he will take this information to the council. He's our liaison. And I have a feeling that's not getting to the town council.
Well, all council talked about was for Lindsay to work on power lines. That was our project.
And, okay. And Barry didn't mention anything about
the vision and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, there's two issues. I've talked to Barry. Barry did send something to the town council on the vision issue. And then he was to take this information and go to the town council also, because they have what we requested is direction. Mm-hmm. And this may not be...
Well, the only thing the council got, and someone's not doing something, because I keep getting put on the spot at council, is the only thing they talked about was P&Z working on burying power lines and climate, what the next step was, either put it to bed or proceed with it.
Well, we were asked to give a recommendation, and we gave a recommendation where we thought it should go.
I told them that we needed direction, we needed a vision.
That's $25,000.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just going to
talk about that last council meeting. And I don't know why it's not in here, but if they had the minutes from the last council meeting, Phil Ford told us to gave us permission to take the John Sawyer study
and go forward
and move forward with it.
That was Barrett that put it that way.
I told him, we have four master plans, but no plan for the town. Mm-hmm. And Barry, you can bury power lines all you want, but it's not going to happen if there's not a vision and a plan for the town.
Yeah.
So after quite a bit of nonsense debate, yeah, he finally admitted to move forward with the plan.
With plan?
He said John Sawyer. I'm assuming that what I wanted to say was to take the three studies in the Economic Development Committee minutes and come up with a plan. So they've left that to us. I mean, all of this is that I don't know if it's council's guessing the memos. I don't think they are. They already told us to work on a power plant. There's no sense in sending that back home.
Well, they've got to approve $25,000.
Well, no, they're trying to find where we can find funding to. And then move forward with that.
Yeah. But we're sending it back to them to find the funding because they have the grant capabilities where we do not.
I even gave them one of my students for a whole semester. I gave the town council one of my MBA students for a whole semester on an internship specifically to find grants to bury the power line.
Well, something's falling through the cracks because I only read part of the email from Dave. Which was mentioned the person's name, and I don't know if he works for Progress Energy, but he puts together the grants, deals with towns, I believe, on burying power lines.
I can't find it. I've been looking for it.
Well, you know, he sent a copy to me. I'm the only one sent it to him. Someone needs to
put it.
Would you like to be a volunteer?
I was assuming that would be on our agenda. I thought the B1 study from council and the power line. This guy's information
would
be on our agenda. Obviously, it's not.
Would it make sense, because there's a bit of confusion, would it make sense to have a joint working session, recommend a joint working session? We've got the power lines, we've got the economic development issue, and it doesn't sound like it's being transmitted.
Well, they're non-committal, first of all. I would like to get them all in the same room to have them give us the direction of where to go.
Who?
I
thought you meant the business people.
I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
We'll be glad to have you.
I mean, we're trying to get those up.
I mean, but I basically told them it was funny. It's got them. You know, they've got people working on signs and minimal things to tell them having money, and they tell us to go out and figure out how to bury millions of dollars worth of power lines. You know, that's something that is going to take time. You know.
Can we put a toilet in the process? Okay. Well, I like your idea. Do we need to put in a motion form that we have a joint session?
I think so.
I would like to make a motion then.
I would like it to be planning and zoning and council, not all the other committees included. Then it just becomes a big.
And I would specifically say, let's identify in the motion what needs to be covered within this joint session. The power line issue.
Well, actually, the vision for where they want to see the town go.
Right.
Reference it if we can to the land use plan. You know, review the land use plan and the vision for the town. And the studies we've done, and the first on the agenda might be is how do we progress with burying. After we get that, we'll progress with burying power lines. But right now, without a vision, going out and trying to get power lines buried does us no good. You know,
should we be very specific?
One.
What is the vision for planning and zoning's responsibilities? And the vision for the town? Or is that?
I think it's a vision for the town. That's what we need. A vision for where this town is growing, at least for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
How about a motion for a joint working session with P&Z and the town council, specifically to examine the vision for the town of Kerry Beach, and specifically the areas that P&Z
wants us to address,
or what the town council wants P&Z to address, including the power lines.
I second it.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, sir. Aye.
Okay,
good. All right. Amendment to sign ordinance. Issue was tabled at the April meeting. I think what we were asking at that time was to kind of have, you know, we had made some recommendations regarding the sign ordinance. It's been hanging around for about a year or so, this discussion. And we were going to have a new kind of document put together that had all of our changes and recommendations, so we had something clean to look at. Mm-hmm. Is this it? I don't think so.
The same as the other.
The same as the other. Okay.
I did have the change in where we went from 12 feet to 8 feet. I looked at that for the height. So it has some of the changes we suggested.
But how about all the ones that we made last time? 18 square foot for changeable coffee signs.
I thought, you know.
Okay. It's still, you know, the
The amortization process, including the extension, all those sort of things.
I think that is added. I think the verbiage is added. Something that the chart wants to change. The issue of the heights and signs and the changeable coffee.
Where was that verbiage added?
In the minutes? On the minutes, it's on page 4.
If you look at page 8.
On page 8? Okay.
That talks about the 3 years, I think.
Yep. Okay.
So you get 7 years plus, you can apply for another 3.
Okay. Yeah, so it has.
I think the only thing that we're going to change is 18 square foot of changeable coffee.
That's what y'all want, 18 feet instead of
420.
It says 20% of the sign.
No, I guess that was my comment about what Myrtle Beach has right now.
Oh.
Myrtle Beach has 18 square feet. Same thing that we're recommending.
That'd be hard to say happy birthday Cherry Beach in 18 square feet.
Oh, do you want me to tell you how big yours is?
Uh-huh. Please. Easy. And I hope you went over 8 feet when you measured it.
Because I don't think...
It's 5 by 4. That's 20 square feet. Times 2.
The back and forth doesn't. It's just. Yeah. That doesn't count the back and forth.
All right. Palm yours is 3 by 6. The other is 4 by 6.
Mine is 2 by 12.
The changeable copy?
No, no. So mine's 24, apparently.
I think yours is 24. I mean, that was a whole measurement I took. That measurement wasn't just a John Long measurement.
Estimation.
And again, the way that it's proposed right now is there's 10 years.
Yeah.
10, I mean, that's a long
time.
Yeah. It's...
Why don't I make it underperform?
As I do.
I've been there forever.
Impressive experience. You better make it, isn't
it? And the new height proposal is 8 feet instead of 12?
No.
Or is it 18?
12.
How's he going to get his crane underneath this pier sign? I mean, we have to apply this to real life situations. The reason
that'd be for pole sign.
Well, he's got two poles holding it up.
Yeah, but
the crane that repairs the pier every time it happens to him, blows. Show you in September. But this, we have to apply the ordinances to real life situations. We apply to our town, not Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach.
I just put it that high so my crane could roll out under it, you know, and just sitting with taking it down is kind of a pain. Would you allow me to put it back? It would be another option.
Well, how tall is it?
I don't know. Taller than my crane. 6 inches taller than my crane, huh? Let's put it up there.
That's great.
So I picked it up. Put it up
one
there.
Of these and okay, yeah. One of these. Okay.
Put a little on the broomstick. I know at one time we talked about having like 6 or 8 feet, have ground level signs without backflipping, but on a corner situation like that, man, that's a hazard to children with the signs blocking the kids in the wheelchairs. I mean,
we didn't take that out. We wanted monument signs, but that's been removed because we left the pole signs in. It's recommended that you do exterior with monuments.
Can we have backlit signs now in the new proposal?
It's recommended. You know, again, we certainly make a recommendation rather than just doing a can interior lit sign, you know, recommendation for something nicer, but it's not required.
Now, right now, signs can be
35
feet high and I think 40 inches thick.
Make sure you get your permits.
I'm telling you, the next somebody applies for that one's going to be a good damn church. I don't think I'm wrong, but it will be.
For what?
It would be a good damn cure if anyone ever applies for a sign of size because it means progress that we haven't had in 40 some years.
Okay. So the only things that haven't been changed in here is the chart.
What it looks like.
Did anybody do a study to find out if the current proposal passed, which signs would be affected?
Yeah, we've got
I understand mine will be, but with the Big Daddy's and... I'm just out of curiosity, if you got it on print, I'd like to see it, which signs are not performing under
the proposal. Every sign's been measured. John's going to measure every sign.
Is it public information, which one's being measured?
Once this is put in, I'm going to have to go out and make copies and measurements for every single lateral sign or...
When it's put in, but that's kind of late for putting input when we don't know which ones are conforming or not.
Yeah, we have a list of.
We have a list.
Yeah, it's. Here it is, right here. Okay. I mean, I don't know if this is the complete one. This was done back in May of 2009, so it's probably more complete than this.
And there is also provision for historical
significance. This is the
favorite one up there.
One.
That's a 48 by
20. I don't know if that's the most recent one. I think John's going out since then.
Some of these are just measurements.
Just do your math. That's 4 by 10. That's 40 feet.
So it appears that the only thing that hasn't been changed for the new proposed sign ordinances is the chart on page 10. That still has 8 feet.
Are you talking about freestanding there, Craig?
Mm-hmm.
Crossed out 12
for the... Yeah, it should be crossed. It should go back to 12.
8 should be crossed out 12.
8 should be crossed out and go back to 12. And then the 30% of sign may be illuminated changeable copy. We're now making that 18 square feet.
What was that last part?
Under freestanding signs.
Okay.
It says 30% of sign may be illuminated changeable copy. Now it's 18 square feet may be illuminated changeable copy.
So it went from 12 to 18.
No.
30%.
30% actually was smaller. So 18 square feet is larger than 30% for the vast majority of signs.
You slip in.
I'm conforming.
for me?
Four.
Remind me of that.
Y'all messed up, didn't you?
No, I did.
Are there any other changes that we're going with?
Oh,
you will.
Oh, you will.
I said I have to sign.
Hey,
I'm here.
Which one?
The one y'all are talking about, because I gave you mine.
That's fakes.
This one?
No, it's the chart.
This one?
Where y'all are changing.
I think we're at 40 square feet. Don't quote me on this, but I think at one time there were three signs that might be affected with this new way back when.
That map was one of them.
So,
but again, we
think Big Daddy's might be.
You know, we're given a 10-year amortization. That's a long amortization.
Three?
Ten years.
Ten years.
I thought there were three potential signs.
Over 18 square feet?
No, that could be affected by this ordinance in some way or another. This new ordinance.
Half of these signs are over 18 square feet.
No, we're talking 40 square feet.
It's
40 square feet is only changeable copy. 40 square feet is the
other.
Yeah.
Is a max.
That's a max sign.
I
think there were three signs in that potential problem, but please don't quote me on that. I don't have that data with me.
The majority of the signs are not affected by this.
Yeah.
What's the intent? I understand you don't want a 35-foot McDonald's arches in town. But couldn't we?
Uniformity.
Well, try to form it. Yes. And try to beautify
it. If mine was 5% over, what would it hurt to make everything 5% over and make it conforming? I mean, what would it hurt? Other than the fact we're talking about spending money. Tens of thousands for a new sign.
Well, actually, your sign's
it's not
conforming, except it's too tall.
I got my changeable letters too big and my actual.
Not according to this one. I've got the update. You've got 12 square foot of changeable copy and you've got 32 square foot.
It's not 12 feet. Those measurements ain't right. Somebody stood on the ground and guesstimated it. In my opinion. Is that true?
I didn't pull an 8-foot ladder.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They guesstimated it. It's not true. It's not true. It's bigger. It's bigger than what they wrote down on that sign. But it's not objectionable. I've never anybody come out and say, wow, that sign is ugly. But the size is objectionable based on the property. Yeah, if it was newer and shinier, yeah, it'd look better. But the size is proportional to the business. That's what I'm wrong. I mean, what would it hurt? If 5% more would make more of them conform and it would still keep the gold arches out of town, what's the point?
Well, why don't we...
And it started by y'all coming up, council asked y'all to come up with things to help business people, not to make them spend more money.
Well, to help bring more business to the town of Cherokee.
There's some businesses that do pay taxes and employ people in town are struggling to make things neat. Why would you put a burden on them?
Because we want to bring more people, we want to make it more beautiful to bring more people to Cherokee Beach so all the businesses benefit.
In the long run.
In the long run, absolutely.
Hopefully we'll all be here.
Myrtle Beach is doing exactly the same thing. They've decided that to get more people to come to Myrtle Beach, they have to beautify Myrtle Beach. So they've changed the sign ordinances. They're going through a lot of beautification, doing exactly the sort of things that we're talking about. And they've been very successful with that. There's a lot more people going to Myrtle Beach now. They've really cleaned up the rack. And if you go drive down to Myrtle Beach, not North Myrtle Beach, you'll find that they don't have the digital signs. They turned off the digital signs. They have exactly the same sort of thing that we're looking at here, and in some respects, more restrictive. So everybody's trying to help the business community, help the business community by bringing more business to the town of Cherokee Beach by making it more attractive.
I heard this last year. It's going to
That's awesome.
Good sign, it's going to bring 30% more business. I heard it.
Be a good year to start, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's start today.
Yeah.
But the numbers won't prove that.
Okay, is there a motion?
Signs before we make a motion on this?
I
mean, Ken, we can certainly table this, and then for the few signs that appear to be kind of right at the border, you know, we could go out and get more specific measurements to see.
You don't want to table this until I get a cumulative measurement for every single commercial sign in Cary Beach?
Well, the ones that are questioned, I mean, not for every single one, because a lot of them are clearly in conformance.
If I go out there and do this again, I'm going to do all of them. They're all going to be right.
Because then you'll have the right to measure.
That's correct.
Well, the other ones will be the height. I probably have the height.
But, I mean, if there's, I guess I'm struggling with the fact that we have, if there's three signs that are not conformable,
that's not
very, there's not very many. But if there's six or seven signs with the businesses we have that are not conforming because of a foot or two, maybe we need to address that issue.
Right. You know, and we could possibly, you know, put some sort of a conditional approval as
what is the height? Is 12 foot the maximum height?
Yeah.
I can tell you three right now that are not conforming.
Right, well that's...
And the one he just spent money on redoing is not conforming on the motel behind us. Mm-hmm. He just put new panels in and painted it, and it's more than 12 feet tall. Mine is, mine's his.
That's the top.
Tom's is over that height.
Twins, all of them.
I guess that would be my biggest issue. I mean, I'm in favor of the other changes that we made. I think
that's good.
You know, I think we're on target when we start a little bit of change of copy.
If we feel these dimensions aren't precise enough, then let's go do it. Make it precise. And
if you have to make it 16 feet, then...
If any changes are required, we will.
I think it's going to be a big issue.
I'm more concerned about the height than the square footage, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from a beautification point of view, you know, a couple more square feet doesn't really matter a whole lot. Height does. You know, 35 feet, you know, I mean, start getting up above 12
feet.
Which
signs down there do you find objectionable? Now?
Well, it's not a matter of objectionable.
Well, I mean, what fits that criteria that you're trying to...
Well, tall signs, blinky signs, you know, the amount of signs that might be put on the side of windows.
What,
you know, these are all things that...
What's the specific answer there? I mean, what sign are you having questioned? No, we don't have any blinky signs, do we?
No, because we don't
have right. So, I mean, which one's too high?
It's not a matter of it being, you know, we're interested in beautification. Signs, there's plenty of research to show that tourists and visitors identify
signs.
I heard
that, and we as business owners are right. Somewhat in charge of beautification of our property, and we do what we feel is best to enhance our property.
And our
so
job
we're in agreement on that. I'm not.
Well,
I'm
well,
you specifically, which one is?
You know, if I could just say, there's a slightly different motivation. You're interested in enhancing your property and building the business for your particular business. Our interest is the town of Cary Beach, and to have as much business and come into the town for everybody. So there is a slightly different incentive.
No, it's one of the same.
I'll give an example. Our banner signs, I guarantee most of them are 12 feet. Y'all put the big banners up with these guide wires that were much higher than 12 feet. So when something the town's doing, I know it doesn't apply to the town, but it's kind of weird that if we don't want anything over 12 feet because it looks bad, why are we hanging everything over 12 feet that the town puts downtown?
It's a
valid point. It's a valid point. Y'all saw them banners.
Well, pass something, they can put 35 feet.
My point is, if it's so objectionable, why in the hell would they ever do it, you know?
Because you got it on the road. You got to get out of the
truck. This street there. I got pictures of it. I mean, it's high.
Yeah. On the road, you have to get it out from under a semi. I understand that. But our stuff is on our property. It's not, normally, it's not overhanging.
So, Ellen, what were you saying? If there's just three that are slightly over, maybe it would be kind of like a variance?
No, what you're saying is change. I think you said change yours.
Look at the height of all the signs. If we break it down to which ones are non-conforming,
yes.
Some are going to be out of the ballpark. Some are going to be 100 and something square feet. You can't really do anything about it.
Right, but if they're slightly over...
But, then, you know, if there's... You know, if we have, like I said, if we have seven non-conforming signs, and five of them are within a few square feet or 10 square feet, and a few feet, I think we should all look at it and try to.
Well, I think that's very appropriate.
I don't think we should make Tom's sign conforming and someone else's sign not conforming.
I agree. I think that's very appropriate that we should consider that. And that's...
I thought our goal was to protect those from the huge signs. So
well,
put,
that's exactly well, what we're saying.
If we put a cap at the highest sign in town, that would put a cap on, that would be the highest one we'd ever have.
Well, that's...
Well, you want to avoid having the highest sign put in the town. I mean, we think... What I think... This is more for the future. The way I look at it is this is the planning part of the future. Now, right now, we have a sign ordinance that's, antiquated. You guys have signs that aren't objectionable, but we have to fix what's there. I mean, because someone else could come in and, you know, the mixed use projects we had come in, they could have put a 35-foot sign.
I'm just saying that
so after the horses out of the barn, we're supposed to stop it.
I'm just saying, if the tallest town right now is 17 feet in town, we can put a cap 17 foot. Your people that's been here and paying taxes, they wouldn't have to go out and spend money. And you'd never have to worry about one going up 17 feet in the future.
That's what I just said.
I understand.
Go through
yeah.
And
that's,
realistically,
that's what we're talking about.
We'll file it, we'll put it in a chart, so we have a public meeting, you guys can look at it in black and white. This is why we did it. I mean, the reason we're doing it is for... It's basically a long range.
So instead of, if mine were over non-complying, instead of making me knock down the sign that I just spent $9,000, $14,000 on, which I'll never recoup, keep as is, knowing it's a non-conforming sign, in the future, when it gets knocked down with the next hurricane, I'm not going to put that sign up over the non-conforming place. It's going to be conforming. That's what I'm understanding this.
Well, there's several ways of dealing with it. I mean, one is simply an amortization process. You have 10 years. 10 years is a long time. I'll be well retired by the time this kicks in and people have to replace maybe the three or four signs that are actually not performing. 10 years is longer than any other community up and down, you know, the state. I mean, we're proposing very, very long amortization process. That's one thing. Second thing is to create variances, you know, where if somebody does have a sign, in fact, there already is a mechanism for a variance for historical signs in here, where if somebody does have a historical sign and we provided a mechanism, then that can be a variance to this particular sign ordinance. You could also put a general variance based upon hardship or something like that. Or we could go ahead and change the ordinance to have taller signs and bigger signs. I mean, there's several different mechanisms. And the sense that I have right now is that we really, and I think there may be different opinions on the board here on this, but the sense I have right now is before we can really have that discussion is that we need to have more accurate measurements of the signs that are out there.
Mm-hmm. It's a doable task, John.
You need another MBA student?
Well, I've got an intern starting on the 25th. I mean, that's what I'd be comfortable with. We'd have plates and measurements.
Yeah, well, then I would suggest that there's a motion to table this item subject to getting accurate measurements on the existing signs and also subject to correcting
the
table to reflect
18 square feet.
Mm-hmm. 18 square feet is changing the
18
sign
square feet, the 12 feet. To the 8 to 12 foot. Just make the table consistent with our recommendations.
Why don't we wait for your measurement and then see what realistically once we make all of them?
We just have to make one part of our proposal consistent with another part right now. So we're not voting on anything. We're just making
it. So you're going back to 12?
Well, no. We went back to 12 months ago. All we're saying is the table on page 10 doesn't reflect what we had already gone back to. This is the old one. The H should be 12. The 30% of sign may be illuminated changeable should read 18 square feet of sign may be changeable. I think those are the two that I noticed that are different. Okay, is there a second on the
second?
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Zoning Overlay District Economic Development Committee. I guess we've already talked about that. Is there a motion or discussion on agenda item number 4?
we'll get away from town. I guess our motion that we had before on item two will help us with four.
Okay. Do we have a timetable on that? When we made the motion, did we have a timetable?
Don't bury the stuff down. No, I think that there's just
the joint meeting. The
joint meeting.
Would it be wise to put a timetable in there,
sure,
please?
Sure.
Okay.
Anybody have a suggestion of
a time? We have to go back and change the motion properly.
Well, we can change that motion under agenda item number four that we're talking about right now. So, is there a motion to amend or have the same motion that we talked about for number two, agenda item number two, but have a time to have this joint session?
I guess I'll propose that we have a motion to take the zoning overlay district and discuss it and combine it with the town's vision in item two, and do so within the next 30 to 60 days.
60 days.
60 days.
That would give them plenty of time to wiggle and keep tabling it. 60 days? Yes.
60 days. 60 days or 30 days? I prefer 30 days.
Well, I prefer 30 too.
Okay. How about if we put 30?
And they can all be somewhere before our next.
Before our next
meeting? Yeah, say before our next P&Z meeting. Okay.
Put them prior to?
Yeah,
prior to the June meeting.
June P&Z meeting.
Fine.
Okay. Okay, motion seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Okay, number five, form-based planning. I think that's probably the same motion, or is there an additional item on that?
Wasn't there the 20-something, there was a meeting on this. Wasn't there a realtor's put on?
I think
I never got it on notice, so I never went.
It was a form-based workshop. Barry went to it.
Oh, so it also was something else.
Yeah, I asked him if I could, but I never got a notice. So.
John, could you just maybe for number five, just kind of summarize? Barry, we're talking about form-based planning and the meeting that you and John went to with the real estate.
Yes, sir.
I got the PowerPoints. Okay. The PowerPoints are set out, and they look pretty good. I didn't look through all of them, but I opened the first one. It came in two parts.
Right.
Did the rest of P&Z get those PowerPoints?
I thought I sent them out to all of the P&Z that I had on my list.
You got them?
Okay.
Did you get them, Eric?
I didn't get them. I didn't get a copy.
Would you like to just...
Could you copy me?
Sure. Happy to.
Is there any kind of insights that came out of that meeting that we should know?
What... I guess the main thing that he was trying to... Actually, it was two people. Okay, I mean, there are a couple of engineers or planners or whatever. Anyway, that's what their business is to go around and make plans and stuff for different communities. Like right now, they're working in San Antonio. But one of the things he was trying to tell or say was that you got to get the community to buy into this. And the different ways of going about getting everyone involved in it, and that form-based planning is somewhat unique in that it just takes a block. In other words, a block by block by block, you set out your business district or however you want to do it, and then have one particular block conform to whatever you derive side of it that particular block should have in it, as far as the types of use. One of the things they stressed that if you have multi-use at the bottom floor, it is extremely important that bottom floor, if you're going to have multi-use function in a particular building, have enough height or whatever regulations would be for that bottom floor to be used in some other method besides residence. In other words, if it was a restaurant, it could be reused as a store or vice versa, and that it doesn't have to always, that there's some flexibility in the amount of the different uses that you could use a particular building for. That's one of the things they were trying to emphasize, was the need to not have something that's, to have something that is good enough to stand 200 years, but flexible enough to be able to have multiple different uses during that lifespan. And that's what they were trying to emphasize, basically. Now, if you'd like, I think we...
I'm looking at it right now. I'll add my part to it. You know, it's pretty awesome what they've done and what they do. A lot of the municipalities that they've gone through and created a plan for, the municipalities have taken and ran with it and decided to enact it. And I would liken what they've designed for the municipalities to make Mayfair Town there.
Yes.
And some people like that look, other people don't. I personally don't like it. One thing that he did reiterate over and over again is that there's got to be a group that puts everything together, has it basically completed and ready to go, and then brings it up to the public. One thing he did say is to get too many people involved without having a main plan in place, you're not going to get anywhere.
So have an idea first.
Yeah, you got to have a plan first.
He needs to have an idea.
And then bring it to the public and see what their acceptance or problems that they have or don't have with it. That way, you know, they have something to look at. They're not looking at just a pie in the sky.
Right.
Which is probably some of our problem that we've had in the past. We've had all these different studies, and none of them, we haven't found a way to, we weren't planning on one particular study one way or the other as far as a way to go. We have finally gotten the council to at least direct us to use the Sawyer study. But in that, what they're saying is that y'all need to come up with a plan first, and then bring it to the public so that they can have a chance to look at it, give their input one way or the other.
Great. You stepped out, I think, when we made about three different motions for our joint meeting.
Yes, sir.
So I think you missed all those.
Okay.
We made a motion that we have a work session with town council to address several different things because there's not enough communication going back and forth. One is the vision, what you want P&Z to do, including the power line issue, the zoning overlay district. Whether you want us to go with that approach. And I would add to that now form-based planning, that if it's the pleasure of the council to move in that direction, then the council should go ahead and appoint, as you said, you know, a small group to go ahead and do this. And I should point out, too, because I've done I go up and down coastal communities lecturing about economic development. And I'll be doing the same thing this summer, talking to about five or six different communities about economic development. And one of the things about beach communities is that it doesn't have to look like Mayfair. You can have form-based planning. For example, Laguna Beach has it, Newport Beach has it, La Jolla has it out in San Diego. And the form-based has a very beachy look. It's not a Mayfair Mayfair is pretty neat, but I'm not sure if that's what we want here.
No, that's what they're trying to say, is you have to design something that's
appropriate,
congruent with the particular town,
right?
Okay, that it fits in, that it's part of the history. Mm-hmm. If we are by definition a fishing town, then it should reflect in some way that kind of a
history.
Yeah.
Right. So I would make a motion to all our other motions that we also include in that work session that you will set up in the next 30 days.
Thank you.
Some direction and possibly the appointment of a subcommittee to push ahead on form-based planning.
To consider.
Yeah.
Not push ahead.
Okay. Yeah, consider form-based planning.
It could be a subcommittee.
That's up to the council. You know, well, that's what Barry was saying, is to have a small group of people to work on this.
Well, I think they took away operating.
Actually, it's already been approved.
If you want a subcommittee, I'm sure we can make arrangements. You already have this approved.
You already have council approval for a zoning overlay committee.
Yeah, we do. It was already approved.
We just never got applicants.
Well, I was going through my...
I would suggest that we discuss that because... You know, I mean, zoning overlay district, is that going to include form-based planning? Does it need to be, I mean, can we have a committee just of maybe some existing committees?
Well, I'm not so sure that the overlay and the form-based planning aren't kind of integral to one another.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
I mean, as I understand it.
That's right.
You know, if we're taking the Sawyer study and going from that, okay, they have a... I guess an overlay district of the B1 business district, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And with, if we go with that and the form-based place, well, I think I had a lot of terms. In those particular overlays, then that's, I think, the direction that P&Z would like to proceed towards. But I don't know. I can't speak for P&Z.
See, I'm getting a different message now. What I'm getting is the council is sending back to us to say, go ahead and do your planning based in the Sawyer-based.
That's definitely, that was at
and that's the case.
That was,
I'm willing to go ahead with that because there's a lot of good things that we go forward with.
That was the whole idea, and that's why we fought and pulled teeth and everything else.
Probably what our meeting then is to discuss that further, well, the direction we go in.
That'd be good.
But Sawyer-based is... the direction that the council wanted y'all.
So that's the vision. That's
yes,
the vision statement.
Yeah, that's okay. It. All right. We've got it.
Okay. But I still think we should have a working.
I mean, you already paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, so why not use what we paid?
And we still can use the meetings. Good.
Yeah. No, I think we all need to read and study the Sawyer. We need to think about what does that mean for form base, for overlay districts, for, you know, bury the power lines, you know, get some priorities,
we'll that.
You know,
that,
and all that sort of thing. So.
Priority that the okay. town would definitely, or the current council would like to see if we can financially afford to do that.
Okay. So Happy said the Sawyer are at town hall, they're readily available.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
yes.
actually what I was going to ask, because when you guys were appointed to work with the other committees on economic development, I'm thinking that I took the copies that I gave Tony Gonzalez and gave you guys a big stack.
It was one stack,
but it had all the studies
yes.
that were done.
I remember us leaving it over there.
You know, left it with Craig and...
But I didn't take it home. I mean, yeah. it was
That's
just...
okay.
It was just...
You
left
it there.
I'll
get you all copies.
We all get copies.
Okay.
I would like to, if you don't mention anything about creating another subcommittee until...
Yes, let's not do
okay.
that.
Okay, strike subcommittee from that motion.
Okay.
Till they get there.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
To include direction and consideration of form-based planning.
Form-based planning. So, yeah, we've got overlay, economic development, form-based planning, burying the power line, vision, and Sawyer. And direction to the P&Z clearly understood. In our working session.
Right. Yeah. There you go. We finally got a vision statement that well. As close as
we got a direction.
Yeah. All right. New business parking ordinance.
Are you gonna vote on that motion?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Next item is the parking ordinance. And
special meeting after last meeting, we added it on. Yeah, and they sent out the packets.
There was a, I like this minor part, put it here. Okay.
I've got one that John gave us that night at a special meeting.
I believe what y'all want to do here is just clean up that section.
That's what we wanted to do. And I didn't think there was much to clean up when I looked at it.
That one section?
No, it didn't be put before.
Yeah.
Where we?
Has to be included in our book.
Okay. So what we're really saying, I thought, is all zoning. I looked at the book. All zoning requirements refer to 19.3.34 all the way through, well, I think it's 39. Or is it 40? Everyone's the same except B1. And we made an exception along the years somewhere that we said B1 only has to apply for lodging. All the others, restaurants and all, do not have to apply by these parking restrictions.
Right.
So I didn't see where the others have any real major issues, except if we want to go through this whole list and say if that's still fair or not. You know, like it wasn't long ago for residents, we made that change to two parking places for the first three bedrooms and then one additional parking space for each bedroom thereafter. And that's in residential and multifamily. And, you know, I looked at all these. They looked good. But I started questioning, can we meet some of these? Like a medical clinic. I don't know if we'll ever get one, but they have to have six parking places.
Right.
Is that reasonable? I don't know. Is that what you want us to do? Ask questions about that or not?
Well, I think the issue that came up last time is we have all these parking requirements for all these different things. And then we've added something else that says, well, ignore all that stuff if you're in the B1 district with the exception of lodging. Yep. So it's just sloppy ordinance kind of right now. Because we have, well, again, all these requirements broken down by medical and everything like that. And then we say, well, you don't have that those aren't appropriate or even relevant if you're in the B1 section.
Well, we did that in the B1 section only for the purpose of the restaurant or some type of eating establishment to upgrade their facility or remodel without having to meet the current
product standards. With the exception of lodging, so that means...
Right. So it means that unless it's a hotel or something like that.
All the language on parking is not relevant if it's anything except for lodging in the B1 district.
Right.
So I think the issue why we put it on is that do we want to just clean up... Now, that's pretty sloppy ordinance right now, where you have all this stuff in there and then say, you know, with the exception of lodging, ignore it. But we don't have to, because...
I guess the reason was to bring business in.
Right.
I wasn't here when that was done.
Yeah, no.
It was a good place.
We have to sit here and say, is all this stuff we're trying to do reasonable or not? I don't know. I mean, if we don't have parking spaces, you're not going to get customers. So, you know, there's a need for parking. But on the other hand, if we have nothing but parking and no businesses, I don't know.
I think restricting it simply to lodging makes sense. I mean, I can understand why that was put in, because for restaurants and things like that, you can't require anywhere close to the type of on-site parking that the ordinance used to require.
And the reason lodging is because that's overnight parking.
Because it's overnight parking. So I don't have any disagreement with the intent of exempting basically everything with the exception of lodging. The only reason I brought this up is it's just then why even have all that other stuff in the ordinance?
Good question.
You know, just we could clean up the ordinance dramatically. But you know, I don't think we need to do that right now. So,
Here's where I have question marks. When you look at the table, medical clinic, church, municipalities, restaurants, banks, theaters, retail use. All those that you said, you know, we're forcing a lot of parking. And I don't know if we can...
But not anymore.
Only in B1.
Right, only in B1.
So there's still other districts where this is enforced.
That's true.
That's right. So I don't know. We'll never get a theater here, so is it worthwhile?
I got a feeling
if we did, we'd be in trouble.
I got a feeling this is cut and paste one time from some other world.
I don't have anything against it. It looked clear to me when I went through it. Except for the B1, it was an exception.
Okay. So,
I don't know if anyone else has comments on that. I didn't see anything I wanted to change. I just put the question marks to say some of these parking spaces might not be fulfilled.
Well, say in another district.
Somebody comes in here.
In another district.
Yes. In another district, it might not be fulfilled.
But I think based upon what happened in our special meeting, we are all now aware
yes.
that in the B1 district that parking, on-site parking, is not even a point of discussion with the exception of lodging.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. It surprised me, too.
Okay.
But that's it.
You don't need any on-site parking. Get rid of it and put a patio there. Make it
work through all that parking. We didn't need to.
I understand. Way back at the time, I was so it wasn't.
We just changed it, I think, before that.
So now we're going to put volleyball court out there.
Okay. Put a fountain.
The problem is you can't have it a 4-foot net because you can't have a fence.
Unify it. There you go. All right. So there's no real motion on this one.
Are we going to leave it as is?
Yeah, I think we're just going to. New business, imposition of privilege fees on sweepstakes machines. Actually, that's kind of a misnomer. I suggested that we examine the issue of sweepstakes machines from the perspective of zoning, not privilege fees, related to SIC codes and what was restricted from zoning based upon our SIC codes. And I talked to Dean today, and he said that we should have all received an email from somebody. And I haven't received an email at all. So somebody who had... Yeah, I saw him about an hour before, and he said we all should have gotten an email.
About what?
About SIC codes, and... I actually did some checking on this. Just very quickly, there are two SIC codes, and SIC stands for Standard Industrial Classification. And we have set up our zoning restrictions based upon SIC codes.
Yes.
There's a confusion about video or non-coin operated gaming devices or these sort of things. In some things that I read the government, you put it in SIC code 7993. And that is technically coin-operated devices, gaming devices. Okay, which is 7993, coin-operated devices. These are not coin-operated. Okay, they're card-operated and those sort of things. So some people have argued that, well, no, that's not the right one. That coin-operated gaming devices were set up, that SIC code was set up 40 years ago or 50 years ago, so they're referring to slot machines and things like that. Sometimes it's put under 7999, which is amusement and recreation or something like that. And those are gaming devices, not coin operated. Okay, so basically, these things are found sometimes under 7993 and sometimes under 7999. Now, having said that, then we can go and look and see what's restricted in our zoning. And I haven't done that. Anybody done that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have it here.
We might in our ordinances that have said you can't have such a business here. That's what this is about.
Is that intent, Barry? Is you don't want a sweet state parlor.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And this is one way of regulating it.
Well, yes, sir. And let me explain to everybody that there was a lot of questions, as everybody knows, in Brunswick County and New Hanover County and everybody place else. The only thing that has flown legally, that has gotten through the legal maze, is this form of putting some control on it. And it was first started out in Aberdeen, North Carolina. And they have been able to get through the legal maze out there with this type of regulation.
By definition, I mean, I don't know if all y'all know this, but I did coin operated games for years. I know the definition of pokers, and the new ones don't take any money and this and that, but I'm sort of part more knowledgeable than most people on that because I did it for a living and I fought the FBI and I had a lot of information about the stuff. But the current ordinance, the way it's written, my skee ball machine falls under it according to current ordinance.
This was not meant to.
I understand the tent. That's what we're getting at. That's why I mean Mike here today. That's why we're here today.
In fact, I think
all of our redemption games in the arcade down there are
by definition.
The crane operating games on my fishing pier are subject. The little candy counter you put a quarter in, that you read the ordinance, you voted on.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd have to go back and research it. Okay? But it was not, as far as I know, the council's intent to do anything other than the sweepstakes parlor type games. That was it in its entirety. Nobody else was to be involved.
Was intent to keep them out of town or to keep a freestanding sweepstakes?
No, to keep, if they want to have them, we're not stopping that.
But they're pre-existing in town. My question is, we've got them, Jerry's got them.
Okay.
Right.
Next time you go to every year you have to get a new license for those machines.
So you're going to charge me $5 for a video machine?
No.
A video game?
No, sir.
That's
no.
Already in there, privilege no, license for
that's
for
the way it is.
That's the way it is, $5. And you're going to charge me $3,500 for a electronic video game, or a sweepstakes machine.
Actually, it's not
$3,500.
$2,000,
right. And if I get two, it's only $7, so it's $35.
Right. Well, however you want to say it. But that's only with those machines. The intent of the ordinance was not to affect any other.
I understand the intent of the ordinance.
Now, as I understand it, that's the way Andy drew it up. Now, if there is a problem with that, we can certainly go back and look at that and make sure that we get it clarified and straightened up.
That would be very
but
helpful.
We don't want it to intrude into anything other than...
Barry, what we are now calling the economic recession that we are in now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Back when that all started, our arcade was losing about 25% of its income. This option came up to put these four sweepstakes machines in there to gain additional income. We put them in there, and we've had them in there late last summer, and they went out, and two more went in this spring when we opened, and there's supposed to be two more coming back. But they haven't gotten there yet. But the income off of those machines didn't make up that 25% that we lost income. And I understand that's not your... I'm just saying that's...
But believe me, I need to know
but
what's
that
going
didn't,
on with y'all.
Didn't make, it didn't make the $7,000 that you're going to charge me. Our part wasn't that much. So... What you're saying then, an existing established business that we are separating and putting those four machines over to the side where the kids aren't around them and it's monitored. They wanted me to put them on the pier and I said no. Okay, so I was looking at a lost revenue in the arcade and I was looking for a way to make it back. It didn't need it, but it helped. It was better than a space being there with nothing going on. But did it make a detriment to the town? I don't think so. Did people run in there to play them and lines form and people fighting for position? No. So what is the rub? The county is looking to go and lower theirs substantially, is what they discussed last night. And the city,
the county has
the city went
if I a B as of yet.
Well, they're looking.
If I could just kind of jump in right now, there's a couple, and I think this is a great discussion. However, it doesn't deal exactly with this item. So, if we could deal with this item right here, this has to do with the use of SIC codes to prohibit or restrict these type of gaming machines from a zoning perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I studied this, and it's my conclusion that the two SIC codes that this may fall under, which would be 7993 and 7999, 7999 is allowed because it also includes a lot of other things that you do have. For example, amusement concessions, bathing, bingo parlors, bridge instruction, fishing piers. I mean, you're in 7999.
It's unfortunate that I can get there.
And so if we restrict 7999, it would restrict half the things in Jury Beach. So that's not appropriate under that restriction. 7993, which is the other place where these things fall under, are coin-operated amusement devices. This includes amusement device parlors, coin-operated amusement machines, coin-operated arcades, amusement. That, again, would eliminate. So a lot of your machines are under 7993. So in my opinion, we cannot use SIC codes the way they're currently set up to restrict or do anything relevant to the sweepstakes machines. I'm just reporting back the use of SIC codes from a zoning perspective. I don't think we can do that using the way our zoning is currently set up using SIC codes, because they're too broad to restrict it by SIC codes, because then you'd restrict everything else. You have a different discussion about the privilege license. That's a different issue that we're talking about.
Yes, I do.
So I would suggest, just for the sake of brevity, I've reported back on agenda item number 2. I don't think we can do it, and just pass on that agenda item unless there's any further discussion by the P&Z.
Well,
there's
just the codes.
Okay. What I would suggest that is we continue through this agenda, finish it up, and then, I'll stick around for the conversation because I think the privilege licensing is a very interesting thing. But to just kind of go through the P&Z agenda right now. Are there any other additional member items?
Or new ones?
Or
new business?
Yeah.
No, we just
said it. No, we just said it.
On our agenda, we used to have
Persons to address.
When in the zone.
Okay.
At the beginning.
Good point.
And that gave the option that PGP came in. So
yes, you're right.
We need to put that back on our agenda.
Okay.
Because I see some different faces in here that
good point.
Probably had something to say that hadn't said anything yet.
Okay. So future agenda items we'll have as number 3
four,
then.
Probably.
Yeah, number 4 will be
first to address
PNC. Good point.
Yeah, we did
read that. Are there any other member items? We can certainly do that. There's some folks, and we've already had people kind of informally address us on the sign we're
drawing.
That's fine. That's fine. Is there anybody else who wants to address?
Parking lot. The proposal by Doris Eek.
It wasn't our agenda right now.
It's not our agenda.
I assume that it was going to be on the agenda tonight.
Well, it was actually going to be. I spoke with Ms. Eek today, and she wants to hold off on that until she finishes other development that she's working on.
There is another. Go ahead.
So it's probably going to be about 2 months before it comes back up. I'm not sure what you're about to say.
The fire code, whatever that was.
This has to do with the parking lot over on the...
No, I know that, but I mean the other development that you were referring to.
Yeah, but she said she wants to finish that one before she starts on this one.
So we have 2 months left.
It's probably going to be about 2 months.
Okay. Yeah, and this is exactly why we should have had this... people to speak to the P&Z at the beginning. So you have to sit for 2 hours of another meeting. So.
But while you're here, you have your comments.
I'll make it later.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about
free.
A lot of traffic on that street all day long. Public works. People coming from the beach, coming up Beach Avenue to avoid the red light in the summertime. They cut up there. They come up high, get it out to 6th Street, and then turn. A lot of traffic. And I don't like the idea of that bringing down our home values on that street.
The only comment I have is that I know most of you guys are business owners or somehow involved, but that is a residential area. And that, I guess, is the concern. It's a residential area, or not a business area. We don't want
to. I don't want to next to the parking lot.
What's he proposing? I'm not even aware of what you're talking
about.
He's
proposing to turn that...
Well, the channel without choose part out?
Yeah, I'm going to draw pay parking meter line.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think about it. I honestly think they do, because I don't think no resident or no tourist would ever put a penny in it.
They'll find street parking.
It's too far back. It's a joke. I mean, I thought only reason she was doing it, she's trying to get town out of the money to let them partner. They've been parking it for free. That's the only reason I thought she was doing it.
That's what it is, because I charge her for the 2 lots behind Big Daddy's, and there she's trying to get the piece.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I bet you money.
No, nobody wants to have the truth goes out, right?
She paid back you, Mac.
Sorry.
Better take off the signs.
I didn't mean it.
You had your prints come down from wherever.
Not going. Why is it always my fault?
I'm going to talk about her.
Maybe. I think she's got your right. I don't know why anyone would put a pay person.
That's ridiculous. I guess I'm supposed to get the actual proposal. Yeah. I just want to know if it's permitted or not.
Yeah. I already told her it's not permitted, but we do have that section in that we put in 3 years ago for special use. Well, that's the only avenue that I can see that she could use.
But it has to be marked as special use. Yeah. And I don't see it marked as special use.
I don't see it happening.
We don't see it happening.
We want to be special use.
It doesn't make business sense to me, and then it probably can't happen anyway.
It really does not.
It may not even come to us. It may not even happen. Now, E Avenue would be a great place to have a parking lot. Right up that median. All right. Any further member items or comments?
Yeah,
is there a motion for adjournment? Okay, second. All in favor, say aye. And I didn't mean to cut you off on your discussion, but it really was an agenda item. So, that's a privilege.
I just want to see.
So, no, I'm just well
ready.
Phil, you can carry on with Barry. So.
Okay. I still have that. I've got it on there to do. Highlighted and everything. You're very.
I believe I have one.
While I'm moving, I think
I'm. Oh, no. Why bother? We're giving it away. How about if y'all got one, let me know. And then I'll leave. All right. Hey, I'm proud of you.
It was a little more cozy in this.
You need to come to our council meeting, baby.
There's moments
that Andy wants that back, sir.
But you handle it.